Well, good morning. Grateful to be out with all of you today to worship and to sing songs of praises and to learn more about our God. Today we're going to be talking about teaching the truth with love. And so I'd like to start off with just asking you a question. Have you heard the saying, it's not about what you say, but it's about how you say it? Again, it's not about what you say, it's about how you say it. I think there is some truth to that saying. It is important on how we say things, with the tone. It can be, you know, from a example, if I can, you know, come here. Or if a very stern, come here. The difference in the two, the messages of those. So it's very important with how we talk and the way we use our words. But also to address that other part, it is very valuable, especially as Christians, with what we say. With the content of our words, not just how we say it, although they both do go together. And so this morning I'd just like to look at both of those parts. So if you would turn your Bibles over to 1 Kings chapter 22. We'll begin there and be there for about half of our lesson this morning. Here we see a story of Ahab, Jehoshaphat, and a prophet named Micaiah. And so just to go ahead and read the first four verses for some context, it says, "Now 3 years passed that war between Aram and Israel. In the third year, Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. Now the king of Israel said to his servants, 'Are you aware that Ramoth Gilead belongs to us? We are hesitant to take it out of the hand of the king of Aram.' So he said to Jehoshaphat, 'Will you go to battle with me at Ramoth Gilead?' And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, 'Consider me yours, my people yours, and my horses yours.'" And so to kind of continue to explain the story, Jehoshaphat is, yeah, I will help you, but he wants to have a prophet, wants God to be consulted on this opinion, on what to do. And so Ahab will get his prophets, get 400 prophets, and they weren't prophets of the Lord. So he gets 400 prophets, and they essentially yes men. They tell him, oh yeah, it'd be great for you to go into this battle. And what will happen is Jehoshaphat, verse 7, can clearly tell that these are not prophets of the Lord. He says, "They're no longer a prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of him." And this is Ahab's response. He says, "There is one man by whom we inquire of the Lord, but I hate him because he does not prophesy anything good regarding me, but only bad. He is Micaiah, the son of Imlah." But Jehoshaphat said, "May the king not say so." And Ahab will bring, will summon Micaiah to him. And so just, it's a very kind of funny way of how Ahab views Micaiah is, no, I hate him because he didn't tell me anything I want to hear. He didn't tell me good things about myself and about what I want like my other prophets do. And to kind of continue on with that story, his prophets, Ahab's prophets, will continue to tell him, oh, you should go fight. God's going to hand it over to you. And Ahab sends a guy, a messenger, over to go and get Micaiah. So jumping to verse 13, it says, "The messenger who went to summon Micaiah spoke to him, saying, 'Behold, now the words of the prophets are unanimously favorable to the king. Please let your words be like the word of one of them and speak favorably.'" So you can imagine being this officer or this messenger. Listen, this would be a lot easier for all of us if you just agreed with everyone else. Just said, "Hey, Ahab, it's okay. You can just go fight." You know, imagine being in his position. This would be a lot easier for all of us. And Micaiah says something that we should all say is, "As the Lord lives, whatever the Lord says to me, I shall speak it." The importance of saying truth. That Micaiah isn't going to be a yes man like the other 400 guys that Ahab has. But he's going to tell truth. He's going to say what God has told him to say. And so, looking on to the story, Micaiah will go to Ahab, and again, kind of a little bit of humor again. Pick up in verse 15. It says, "When he came to the king said to him, 'Micaiah, should we go to battle against Ramoth Gilead, or should we refrain?' And he said, 'Go if it succeed, for the Lord will hand it over to the king.' Then the king said to him, 'How many times must I make you swear that you will tell me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord?'" So kind of a funny thing that Micaiah says, "Oh, you should go fight." And then Ahab is, you can almost sense the sarcasm from Micaiah. That's, "When are you going to tell me the truth? You know, don't joke around with me." Because it's just very, very funny, the sarcasm that you can see clearly from these words. And so Micaiah will say, in verse 17, prophesying from the words that God has given him, "I saw Israel scattered on the mountains like sheep that have no shepherd. And the Lord said, "These people have no master. Each of them is to return to his house in peace." Then the king of Israel, which is Ahab, said to Jehoshaphat, "Did I tell you that he would not prophesy anything good regarding me, but only bad?" And the importance of making sure we tell truth, that we, Micaiah teaches truth, tells God, or tells the word of God to Ahab, and we can't control the reaction of the people we're talking to. So when we teach truth, which truth being the gospel, Jesus Christ, the things of the Bible, we can't control their reaction in terms of how they may feel about the message. But we will get to how we do that later on. But we need to make sure that we are teaching truth. Like Micaiah, he's teaching the words of God and not teaching things that would please Ahab, things that would make it easier just to tell him that's what he wants to hear, but teaching the words of God. And an application for us, it's that we don't change the message, we teach it. We can see other denominations, we're not a denomination, we can see denominations talk about changing the Bible. We can see not the necessity for baptism, for example. We can see that, and they can clearly ignore verses of the Bible, like Mark 16:16, Acts 2:38, and there's more, about the necessity of baptism. Or there's plenty of other things that we'll see other denominations, not other denominations, that change God's Word to make it easier, to make it more accepting in the world we live in nowadays, or whatever it may be, instead of staying in the Word of God. We like to make it, people like to change it. And that's something we got to watch out for. If you would leave your hand in First Kings and turn over to Mark 16, verse 15. Jesus is speaking there, and he says, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation." So I want you to notice, he doesn't say to teach your version of the gospel, teach what you think is going to help people. It's teach the gospel. Teach the gospel, because this is what it's about. This is love. And this is what's going to truly help people. And not changing it, not making it your version, the way you think, tell them the important things that you think or the things that aren't as important. It's teaching the gospel. And that's the importance, that it's still true to us today. We have to teach truth. We've got to make sure that we study the Bible. We don't just take other people's word for it. Like, for example, I'm up here preaching. And we can put this respect level towards the preacher of, oh, he knows what he's talking about. You got to look into the word, look into the truth, instead of taking it from a man's word. Because just as any preacher that will ever be up here, I'm a man. This is what truth is. As well as I can do the best of my abilities, we have to look into the Bible for truth and make sure that what is being taught is truth and what we are teaching is truth. But back to 1 Kings, which we read, Micaiah does teach truth. He tells them what God says. And to kind of summarize the rest of the story, Ahab is going to go fight. Ahab in verse 27 is going to say, "Put him in prison and feed him enough, give him enough water so he can survive till I return." Micaiah says, "If you actually return safely, the Lord has not spoken to me." And he said, "Listen to all you people." And so, to wrap up the story, Ahab does not return alive. He does die in battle, as was said. In verse 36, it'll call back to verse 17, where it says, "Every man to his city and every man to his country." Whereas verse 17 says, "Each of them is to return his own house in peace," and that they've scattered. And the proof that what Micaiah said through what God said through Micaiah did happen. And the importance of teaching truth, because truth is what happens. And what God says will happen. We've seen that time and time again with prophecies made in the Old Testament and Jesus fulfilling them, things made in prophecies in the Old Testament fulfilled later on in the Old Testament, all these things. What God says will happen. But, I hit the wrong button. One thing that we can get from this point is, so we can just teach truth and we can just say truth and that's it. And the importance, and kind of what I want to get to talking about today, is how we do it. We've kind of, that starting point, that sense of it's not about what you say, it's about how you say it. It's important about how you say it, or what you say, excuse me. And we've kind of touched on that part. Now it's this how you say it. So, if I were to see, you see there's in this verse, 1 Corinthians 6:9-10, it lists a bunch of different sins and things that people can struggle with and that they're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. And so, for us, it's the importance of love, that we need to teach with love. Because Romans 6:23, this verse, sometimes I fear that we can put levels to sin. That we can put sin as, this sin is worse than other sin, or I can't teach this person because they deal with this sin. They'd never listen to God. They never listen to the gospel because they live with this, they're struggling with this sin. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." It's not the wages of certain sin, it's the wages of sin. Sin leads to death. So we cannot put levels to sin. Sin leads to death. And so when we are out and about with our example, when we're teaching others with, like I said, with our example of, it can be just being kind, just smiling, right? Just being happy. Or if it is, you know, sitting down studying with somebody, that we're doing it out of love. Because if you were to sit down with someone, let's say, and they're struggling with a certain sin, and if I go up to them and I say, "Listen, you're going to hell," right? That doesn't help, right? That you've got to teach them with love. Jesus, as we'll talk about, deals with people that are living in sin. He teaches people like the adulterous woman, like and the woman at the well, and people that are living in sin. And it's not, "You're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong." It's teaching them with love. And I fear sometimes that we look at other people living in sin, and it's, "Oh, they would never listen. They don't deserve this gospel." And it's, everyone deserves the gospel, and we need to teach it with love, as Christ taught it. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, is the main verse, if you will, this kind of part of the lesson, where it says, 1 Timothy 1, verse 5 says, "But the goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart, from good conscience, and from sincere faith." And so our goal of instruction, our teaching, is to be with love. So when we teach others, when we teach the gospel, it's not to teach to prove that we're right, to prove that someone's doing something wrong, that they're living in sin. Is that a part of it? To show them a better way, as Aquila and Priscilla showed Apollos? But we are showing them love, as Christ has shown us love. Colossians 4:6 will talk about that our speech must be seasoned with salt. In Ephesians 4:29, we'll talk about using no unwholesome word, only good words to build up others and give grace to those who hear it. The importance of how we do it. The gospel is very clearly, the Bible is a story of love. We can see this if you look at Ephesians 2, verse 5. If you had to summarize the Bible, the gospel, in one verse, I feel like this is a pretty good candidate. Which is, it says, Ephesians 2, verse 5, "Even when we were dead in our wrongdoings, made us alive together with Christ, by grace you have been saved." The love that every single one of us was dead in our sins, this isn't new information to anybody, we were all dead in our sins, and that He made us alive together through His love, through His grace, that we can be with Him forevermore, as it'll talk about. And it's, so this story of love that we clearly see as Christians, we understand that we have received this love, and yet we got to make sure that we are loving others, that we're not putting levels to sin. Is something I can see could be a problem for. I know as someone, when you preach, you kind of step on your own toes before you give the lesson, and so this is something I know I could work on. But we got to understand teaching with love, not just teaching them to prove that they're wrong or to prove that we're right. It's love. And Jesus shows us this. If you turn over to Luke chapter 23, Jesus is our example, as we know. And as Christians, we're supposed to be Christ-like and to emulate what He does, what He teaches us. And this is just an example here of Jesus dealing with someone that was living in sin and was reaping the consequences of that sin. Looking in verse 39 of Luke 23, says, "One of the criminals who were hanged there were hurling abuse at him, saying, 'Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us.' But the other responded and, rebuking him, said, 'Do you not even fear God, since you are under the same sense of condemnation? And we indeed are suffering justly, for we are receiving what we deserve for our crimes. But this man has done nothing wrong.' And he was saying, 'Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom.' And he said to him, 'Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise.'" So we see this criminal is on the cross, is being crucified, and is deservedly so from the laws of the time. As he says, he's We are indeed suffering justly, for we are receiving what we deserve for our crimes. But this man has done nothing wrong. And so you see, from Jesus, what Jesus could have said, right, is, you're supposed to be on, you deserve to be on here, right? I agree with you, I don't deserve to be on this cross, but you do, right? This, and, you know, I'm not going to save you because this is what you deserve. And it's with love. It's, truly I say to you, today you'll be with me in paradise. It's love. This man was guilty of sin, as we all have been in our lives, as we talked about in Ephesians 2, and that there's people out in this world that are living in sin, and that we're not going to go in and, you know, tear them down. We're not, you know, break them down, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong. We build up, we use Jesus to show them love. Because this is the ultimate example of love. And John 13 will talk about that Jesus says to love others as I have loved you. He'll say in John 13, verse 34, just to read that, I'm giving you a new commandment that you love one another just as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And so that's, you know, what has Jesus done for us? He's died for us. He set us this example and given us this opportunity to go to heaven. And we are to love as Jesus Christ did. He tells us to do that. So we are to have this love towards others, because Jesus didn't die for just Christians, didn't just die for those that would follow him. Matthew chapter 9, verse 12, Jesus will say, it is not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. And we all have been sick, as Ephesians talked about again. We've all struggled in sin, but we need that physician. We need to be able to go out and to show people the physician and show them Jesus, because Jesus is love. Jesus is what changes people. I think, you know, a lot of times in our country over the last 2 years, we've seen the talk about we need to unite, we need to come back together. And the only thing that's going to bring us back together is Jesus Christ. That's what unites people, truly. Everything else is a temporal uniting. Jesus Christ is what brings us together. And when we show love, when we show them Jesus, that is what's going to change hearts. It's not going to be getting up to someone and you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're going to go to hell, because that doesn't change you, people. What changes people is showing Jesus, showing the love that even though with all the mistakes I've made in my life, the sin I've committed, that there was a man, God, who came down to be man and to die for me, to take away my sin, that I can go to heaven. Something I did not earn, as Ephesians 2 will teach. Something I didn't earn. Nothing that any of us can ever earn. But that he came down and showed this great act of love, of grace, and of mercy. And that's something that we need to continue to show to other people. This love towards others, regardless of whatever sin it may be. That we don't look at them and say, oh, they wouldn't listen. Right? That we've been saying throughout this lesson. But we look at them and show they need Jesus just as much as I do, just as much as any other person ever will. And we need to show them that through, like I said, our example, whether it's just being kind. It doesn't have to always be, you know, you see someone living in sin, or you know somebody from work or school living in sin. It's not always you immediately have to go right into a Bible study. But it's the example, just treating them kindly, showing them what a Christian acts like. Because they notice. They notice your example. People will notice the way you act. And it's, you know, why do you act that way? Why do you live like that? Why are you so happy, right? And it's because of what Jesus has done for me. And that's the real importance of our example, of showing others that Jesus, the way Jesus wants us to live, and that the gospel is for all. James chapter 4, we'll also kind of talk about this idea as well. James chapter 4, verse 11 through 12, says, do not speak against one another, brothers and sisters. The one who speaks against a brother or sister, or judges his brother or sister, speaks against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge of it. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. For who are you judging your neighbor? Going along with the idea of we're not the judge. We're not the ones that, oh, they wouldn't listen. Oh, they don't deserve it. That's not our job. Our job is to share the gospel. That's what we are called to do. To share it with others, to live it as we have, and to help others. That's what we're supposed to do. And so when we see others living in sin, that we don't, again, like I've said, put levels to sin. There's no sin that these sins are equal. We put sins of, these sins that may be a criminal act, and we can lift them up over lies. Lies, in most scenarios, isn't a criminal thing. This sin is sin to God. We can all be forgiven of sin, and we need to make sure that we're not treating others that they're not deserving, that they wouldn't listen, like I've been saying, but show them love, because we need to teach God's word, and we need to teach it with love. We have the material. We have everything we need. This book is truth, like we've been talking about. Truth, and this is not our version. This is truth. Every single word in this book is inspired. And we need to make sure that what we are teaching is truth, that we've studied, we've prepared what we know to help others, to help ourselves, and to live it. And also, it's not just to take that word and say, hey, you're doing this wrong. Hey, you got to teach it with love. Teach it with the want to actually help them. Jesus came down not to say, hey, you're wrong, the whole time. Did he certainly talk to Pharisees and say, hey, the way you're doing this is wrong, woe to you, and talking about that? Yes. But he also displays love, that he came down to die for those people, that he died for those that are going to hate him from the moment they can understand Jesus to the moment that their last breath's on this earth. He died for them. We also, regardless of those people, of how they may feel, to teach with love. Because that's what the gospel is. The gospel is love. God is love. 1 John 4 will talk about that. We need to display this. Oh, I hit the wrong button again. We got to display love. And we also need to teach it to all people living in sin or not. Because the gospel is for all. The gospel is for all people. It is for like I said, for everyone. And we need to make sure that we're not limiting that. That regardless of who it may be, where we may be, that we can share the word. And we can go out and, ask someone to study with us. There's so many people we come into contact with. If you can think about work, if you can think about just friends from wherever, there's so many opportunities that we have. And we can't lose these opportunities. We got to try to at least share the word with them. And when we do share it, it's not, like I said, you're wrong. It's with love. Jesus Christ loved every single person so much to die for us. And we need to make sure that we are just showing that love and saying, listen, I lived in sin too. This is something that we've all lived in sin, we've all struggled, but Jesus Christ came down to die on this earth and to give us his chance to go to heaven. And so, if you do need help with that today, then we need to make sure that we continue to learn God's word and teach with love. And if you want to be baptized today, now is also that time. It's a necessary step, like we talked about earlier in the lesson, of being for salvation. And we need to make sure that we wash our sins away, be buried with him in baptism, as Romans 6 will teach. And we will come up as a new creature. We need to make sure that we do that and to continue to live for Jesus. If you have questions also, now is also the time. Never leave if you have questions. This is the most important subject matter ever. Not what we're going to have for lunch, right? There's no need to rush out there to get to Skyline. This is the important thing, is the word. So do not leave if you have questions, or if there's something wrong, if you need prayers, whatever it may be, we got to make sure we stay and take care of this word, and to display love to one another, to be there to help each other, and to make sure that we are going to continue to teach truth. But whatever you may need, please come forward as you stand and sing.